anything in the football. And my junior year, I was going to get to play a lot on offense and defense. And let me tell you what was so cool. Brevard's not a big town, but it's big enough where you don't know everybody. So there were times I would go in a grocery store and somebody knew who I was. You know, it's like a high school celebrity in your little town. That was really cool. Hey Sanders, go get them. That felt good. I felt pretty special. I felt pretty significant. I felt like I was, you know, pretty happy with where I was. But you know what happened? A few games into my junior year, we were playing football against one of our big rivals from another town. And the game was close, and I had already made a pretty big mistake. I went turning a kickoff, a guy put it on me, and I fumbled. That's a big deal in football. And the other team got the ball. Well, late in the game, I get a chance to redeem myself, to make up for that mistake. And I'm back to receive the punt, and we have a chance to not only have great field position, but to beat our rival. And so I'm back to catch the punt. Y'all know what a punt is? They kick it up real high in the air. So they kick the ball high in the air. One of the hardest things about a punt is catching it, right? I caught it. That was the easy part. Then I started making my way upfield. And a couple guys wrapped around me, and I'm falling to the ground, and I'm focusing on squeezing that ball and protecting it. But as I'm going down, my arm's coming up. And as my arm's coming up, the ball's coming out the back. And I fumbled again. And I was laying on the ground, and there was this dude that was a lot bigger than me laying on my legs, and I couldn't move, and I'm hollering at buddies, get the ball, and guys are jumping on it, and the other team got the ball. What that meant was we were going to lose the game. All they had to do was kill the clock. And I was standing out there on defense then, and it felt like every eye in the stadium was looking at me. And when I walked off the field that night, you know what happened? People that I didn't know wearing Brevard hats were cussing me out. People that I didn't, they know who I was, and they were letting me have it. In a matter of moments, I had gone from thinking, life is good, I'm a big dog football player, to literally wondering, where can I go to hide my face? You know what I had been doing? This cup represents me and you. Okay, this is an illustration that I want to show you what we tend to do when it comes to the life that we're living. To try to make us feel happy, we run to other things. What did I run to? I ran to a sport called football. And I started drinking from that sport, and that things were going really well for a while, and I was feeling really good, and I was feeling really happy. But after that fumble, how did I feel? Pretty rotten. And I wasn't happy anymore, and I went from feeling happy and full to really empty. Listen to what the Bible says in Jeremiah 2, because God says that His people tend to do this. He said, "My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've made these broken cisterns," that's something that's supposed to hold water, "they've made broken cisterns that cannot hold water." And so instead of coming to me, he says, the God who gives life and who fills up and who gives satisfaction, they run to other things. And that's what I'd done with football. And it was silly. Like a lot of you, I grew up with parents who loved Jesus. And they told me about Jesus. And they told me about my need for Jesus. And I had learned the gospel at a young age, and I believed it. Hey, listen, put your hand up. If you have any kids in here, put your hand up with me. Let me just remind you what the gospel says. Point at yourself. It says, "I have sinned." Can you say that? Yeah, the Bible says we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior. We need a rescuer. And the good news is that the Bible says God loves me. And He loves me so much, point to that big finger in the middle, that Jesus died for me. The Bible says that God shows His love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ came to do what we couldn't do. The Bible says you got to be perfect to go to heaven. None of us are perfect because we've all sinned. Jesus was perfect. Jesus came to this earth. He lived perfectly. And y'all know when He went to the cross, He was taking upon Himself the punishment for His people. God loves us so much that He gave us Christ. And then, grab that fourth finger, that ring finger. We must receive Jesus. Can you say that? We must receive Jesus. And the Bible says that if we believe in Him and receive Him, we are saved. A little happy pinky dance right there. We are saved. So, see if you can do it with me. I have sin. God loves me so much that Jesus died for me. I must receive Jesus. And if I do, I am saved. I knew the gospel. When I was younger than some of you, I asked Jesus to save me from my sin. I knew what it meant to be loved. I knew what it meant to be somebody because I belonged to Him. I knew what it meant to be happy. I knew what it meant to be significant because I had a rescuer. I had a Savior in Jesus. But I forgot, didn't I? And I was looking to football to make me happy. But guess what? Some of you don't look to football. Where's the me cup? There it is. Some of us run after grades. This wasn't an issue for Pastor David. But we get good grades, and if we can get all A's, we're happy, we're feeling good, we're somebody. But what happens when we get the B or the C? Or we get the teacher we just don't understand. Or we don't make the grade that we can make. Well, we end up feeling pretty empty. Well, some of us go, who's got some awesome toys? Christmas coming up, you probably already got your list. And it feels so good to get that toy. For some of you teenagers, it's not maybe the toys anymore, it's technology. You want the latest little Wise phone, right? And you're drinking it up, and it makes you feel great. And then that toy, there's something else that's better out there getting sold. Or your friend's got something for Christmas you really didn't even think about, or it breaks. Or they got the latest smartphone, and so your smartphone's really not as smart as the other smartphone. You want the new smartphone. So you go from feeling pretty full up to completely empty. These are broken cisterns. This is what God was telling His people. We've committed two evils. We've forsaken the God of living water, and we've made for ourselves broken cisterns. Now, family's a great thing. But some of us think, I'm just going to get my happiness from my family. And I'm going to get my happiness and my significance from the family that I belong to. And we love family. But guess what? Family lets us down too. What if our parents divorce? What if someone we love in our family passes away? What if we just don't have a good relationship with our brother or sister? You see, if we were looking to family to make us feel all happy and content, we're going to end up feeling empty. Well, lots of kids like y'all grow up, you move from family to friends. Well, okay, my family's let me down. I just want to have friends. And we try to get as many friends as we can, even be popular. We want to be known. We want everybody to think we're somebody. But what happens when the friend that you thought was your friend turns out not to be a very good friend? Or even your good friends disappoint you, and they talk about you in a way that really hurts you. Or maybe you're trying to be popular, and there's always people that just don't like you. Well, it leaves us feeling pretty empty. Well, some of you get older. I hope this isn't going on for any of you little ones, but some of you get older, we think, well, if I can just have that sweet boyfriend or girlfriend, and they think I'm great, and I think they're great, and everything's great, and we're going to love each other till we die, until they say, you know what, I think I like this other person, and I'm going to break up with you now. And our hearts are broken. And we went from having this boyfriend or girlfriend that we thought would love us forever, and all of a sudden they're not loving us forever, and we're left feeling empty. Well, if it's not dating, some of you grow up, this is an issue for some of the adults in here, we get a job, and we just, that's where we get our significance and our happiness. As long as I'm going to do my job better than anybody else, I'm going to be just the best in this world, and I'm going to do great. And then everything's crumbling all us around. Maybe we're doing our job real well, but we lose our marriage. We do our job real well, but we don't have relationships with our kids. We do our job real well, but we're still not satisfied. If we're looking to our job to make us happy, we're going to be empty. And then there's money and stuff. Well, if I can just make money and buy whatever I want, and I'll be happy. And you know who some of the most miserable people in the world are? those who have the most money. It's really incredible. You'll see it story after story. Some of the world's most wealthy people are some of the most miserable people. And you know why? Because we've committed, like the people of the Old Testament, we forsake the God of living waters, and we go after these things that are broken and that can hold no water. And I want to, you know what I remember that night driving back from the football game? I can remember that night well. I was in my 79 Toyota Corolla. It was a misty rain. And I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? And the Spirit of God impressed upon my heart the following thoughts. Well, what are you going to do now? Where are you getting your acceptance from? I realized that I was getting my significance and my acceptance from a great game, but a game. A game that you can fumble and everybody goes from loving you to hating you. And I realized that if my happiness was going to come from football, I would never be filled up. And I remembered Jesus, my rescuer, who I had been turning from. And I remembered what Jesus had said. And you know what Jesus said? In John 7:37, Jesus said, he yelled out. The Bible says he cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." The picture he was painting is, you want to be filled up and happy and content? Come to me, Jesus. He says, "I am the spring of living water. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And what I realized on that night was that there was nothing and no one and no thing that could satisfy me like Jesus. This picture represents Jesus Christ. And when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, he not only fills us up, but we begin to overflow, as John 7:37 says. We overflow life to those around us. We overflow good things. We proclaim the gospel. People see our good works and they praise the Father in heaven. People begin to want what we have because we can still fumble and we're still full up. We can lose jobs and money and we're still full up. We can have the worst toys ever and we're still content and happy because we know we have a rescuer and his name is Jesus. Jesus said, "Whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And if he believes in me, out of his heart will flow streams of living water." Boys and girls, that night I told Jesus, "Forgive me. Forgive me for looking to football to give me life. You gave me life." I remembered that if I was looking to football or any other thing for my significance and security, I would never be satisfied. But if I looked to Christ, I'd never be disappointed because he loved me this much. He died for me on the cross. And he said, "You are mine." He said, "My sheep hear my voice and they know my name and I know them and they follow me." And some of you, the Lord has done that work in your heart too. The Lord has stirred your heart to believe in Jesus. And that is a wonderful thing. And maybe now in this night or in this coming week, the Lord's doing that work. Well, you're hearing the shepherd Jesus say, "Hey, I'm where life is. Come to me and follow me and receive me and believe in me." Some of you are hearing him call. Even as I share these gospel words from Jeremiah and John 7, you're hearing Jesus, the good shepherd, say, "You need me. I'm your rescuer. I'm the one that can satisfy you and fill you up." And so if that's happening in your heart, tell the Lord about it. Say, "Lord, I know I need you. Rescue me from my sin and give me the life that I long for." So you know what? I can play football, and whether I fumble or score a touchdown, I'm good. I can have friends, and if they're good friends or not great friends, I can be okay. Because I have the ultimate friend. His name is Jesus. Hey, listen, that whole thing changed me. The rest of high school, instead of seeing my buddies as guys that I wanted to think I was a good guy or a funny guy, or a good football player, I cared about their souls. I wanted them to know Jesus. And I started asking the Lord, "Lord, help me to tell others about this good news, this Jesus who gives life and overflows." That's the kind of change that happens. There is nothing more important, young people, kids, parents, than to embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is the only spring of living water. There's no other name under heaven by which we're saved. So if you don't know that you know Him, try to get that settled really soon. Let's pray. And kids, if you just listen, bow your heads, and if the Lord is teaching you that, you know what? I believe that Jesus is the rescuer. I believe that He is the Savior. I believe that He's the only one that can give me life. Then tell Him, even in the quiet of your heart, say, Lord, I know I need You. I know I'm the sinner, and You're the Savior. I know that while I've sinned, You've shown love for me by sending Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again. Savior, save me from my sin. I'm thirsty for real life. Satisfy me. Fulfill my thirst. Overflow. May I overflow to others in the ways that I know them and care for them. And may I point them to You. Thank You, Christ, for saving me and rescuing me from my sin. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen, if your heart's believing in Jesus, you need to talk to your parents about that or somebody in your family who brought you here tonight, okay? Nothing more important. David?
Now, that's the most important thing that you'll hear all night tonight, and that's the only thing.